The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Every snap is an interview.
After the snap.
What a snap.
And keep your mouth shut, 50!
I lead by example.
With Blake and Reed Ferguson, discussing life in, out, and after football.
To be able to leave walking away with a degree and a championship, it couldn't be any better.
Yeah!
Well, you can take this boy out the real south on him, but you can't take the real south out of my voice. And now here we go again, twist a little bit deep because you got thick skin.
Reed, I put something out on our podcast social media in the last 48 hours before this episode released. And I think it's an important question. It was brought to my attention Wednesday night by a friend of mine, just in a group message, because I guess he and his wife were having a conversation of how many pairs of underwear is adequate to keep in a dresser at one given time. And so I put that out on social media. We got a bunch of responses from two pair to I'll take as many as I can get. And I purposefully didn't provide my opinion on the topic. You put up a tweet showing what you think is adequate, yep. Which I believe was like,
I replied,
14?
I think I said 12.
12. Okay.
Minimum 12, meaning, I think.
Yes, 12 need, minimum plus 5 to 6 sets for workouts was your tweet.
So do you want my thoughts or do you want to give your thoughts first?
No, I'd love a rationale behind it.
Okay, so my thoughts is I do laundry once a week, roughly speaking. Every 6 to 7 days, I'm doing my entire laundry. Mm-hmm. I feel it is necessary because you wear one pair during the day and then I obviously shower at night and then put on a new pair to go to bed. Okay. In any instance where I may need a second pair throughout the day, if I do something and need to shower and change clothes, if I'm doing yard work or if I go to a baseball game or whatever, and I come home and it's the afternoon, I want to change and shower and I need another pair, I feel like having a handful of backup pairs, one per day of the week with a handful of backup pairs. That should get you through your 6 or 7 days until you do your laundry again. Now, with workouts, I'm working out 3 to 4 times a week when I'm going in the off season. And then in season we just work out at the facility and they take care of the laundry. But at home, I feel like I need 3 to 4 just for my workouts. And then an extra 1 to 2 because we live in Texas in the off season. And you really may need, you know, if you're going across the street to play at the kiddie park, you know, with your kids, you throw on some workout underwear. You do not want to wear normal underwear outside of Texas in July.
Never.
Ever. So you're going to catch a cold case of the SBSS. If you're interested in what that is, DM the podcast account. So that's my rationale behind 12 minimum normal underwear. And I'm talking, let's see. I want to make sure I get it right. Briefs are the tight to your leg. Briefs.
See, I'm a boxer guy.
Briefs only.
No.
Okay.
So I don't know what the average was of all of the responses that we had, but most of them echoed your same sentiment, which is enough to get to laundry day.
1 to 2 pairs a day throughout the week.
So we have roughly 2 weeks worth, aka 14-ish, plus a few designated workout pairs. It's entirely, somebody else says it's entirely a function of how long you go between laundry cycles. Better to have too many than too few. Bills by a Billion says I have like 60 TBH.
Seems
which
much.
So let me give my
that sounds like somebody who got who asked for Hanes underwear for Christmas.
The ones that rip.
No, just the the packs of washes. the packs of like 10 that you can get from Walmart.
Yeah.
And he got one from his wife,
one from his mom.
He got one from his brother. He got one from his mom and dad.
Kids.
And maybe one from a friend. Yeah. So there's your 60, your dozen pairs of underwear.
Well, so let me give my opinion on the topic before I proceed, because I feel like that this is important for context. So the way I look at it, currently in my drawer right now, I should have counted this morning. Currently in my drawer, I have roughly 30 pair of the exact same underwear.
Lulu?
No. It's the it's the one from Target.
Pair of Thieves.
Yes, the Thieves one. Yes.
I tried those. Thieves. Hated them.
I got their boxers because I'm a boxer guy.
I also have something funny after this. So
and I had this amazing pack of boxers that I got, I think when I was in college. It was a ton of them. It was Nautica brand, and they came from Costco, which is why there was a ton of them. Wore them out just loved them. They were great. But I was starting to run out of them. They were starting to rip, the waistband was starting to separate. Anyway, bought a whole bunch of the Pair of Thieves underwear, 30 some odd pairs. And then I have like 5 pair of like Nike compression shorts. I've tried Lulu. I've tried the Tommy John. I've tried number one, I can't do briefs. Number two, I cannot do the synthetic like stretch material. It's just like I don't like it. But number one, I have to have enough to get me to laundry day. Obviously I put on a pair of underwear in the morning. When I wake up, I go the entire day in that pair of underwear, unless I obviously shower or whatever, throughout the day. At night, shower before bed, put on another pair of underwear. Okay. Sleep through the night. New pair of underwear goes on. I'm not wearing the same pair of underwear that I wore to sleep. So I'm wearing 2 pairs of underwear per day.
Minimum. Okay.
So if I go 7 days, that's 14 pair of underwear. That's not even counting workout underwear. And if I, am running around and need an extra. If I shower,
no wonder your Nautica ones wore out so fast. Pair, you're washing them twice as much. Yeah.
And I'm not hang drying them, so they're gonna get beat up in the dryer. But that's my answer. Cannot have too many pairs of underwear. Just can't. We got anything under 10 pairs, which is low anyways. Ken Dorsey fan account says 14, 15, Minimum probably 8, but you don't want to lock yourself into having to do laundry one time a week or you'll need more. Max would be whatever fits in one drawer, trying to be space conscious, because having more than one drawer full of underwear is psychotic. I'd say you'll want 15 pairs. So the listeners settled around two pairs.
Sorry, thought somebody was at my house. I lost your audio.
Hang on.
Gotcha.
Can't hear you. There we go.
Hello?
You got a dog running around?
No, it's the bug guy.
Oh, nice. Gotta keep the bugs out when it's, what, 40 degrees in Houston?
Yep.
Man. Anyway, I just thought that was an interesting question to bring up. It clearly, there's like a very strong majority that say 14 to 15 pairs is a solid number. I did have somebody, I think somebody on the Instagram story responded with like 4 pair.
That's way too. Are you doing laundry every day?
At the minimum, every 2, because if you don't, you're stretched. I mean, you might be reusing some, you might be picking up those underwear and seeing which one stinks the least to reuse your underwear. I've done it with t-shirts, never with underwear. I've picked up two t-shirts and been like, all right, this one's the winner for today. I need, anyway.
All right, so one more thing before we move on. This towards the end of the season, for those of you that don't know, my teammate Stephon Diggs and I believe his brother in Dallas,
Trayvon,
they are investors in a company called Saks, S-A-X-X, and they dropped a box of some goodies to us.
Nice.
Around the end of the season, and it had a bunch of underwear in it. So I'm currently trying out some Saks.
How do we feel about
underwear.
Saks?
Not to get TMI, but.
Well, I think we're already TMI.
Yep. I'll let you look up the design of the Saks underwear and see if you can. All right. So moving on, going into last weekend's games. Were you able to watch both? Did you get to watch both games?
Yes.
So Philly, San Francisco played in the early game on Sunday. Unfortunately, wasn't much of a game. Excuse me. Brock Purdy got injured pretty early on, and Philly kind of ran away with it with a couple turnovers that they turned into points. So I didn't have a ton really to cover on this game other than the fact that Philly they have definitely taken advantage of the matchups that they've had, you know, playing a wild card team with the Giants that some people were surprised made it past Minnesota. For those of you that listened here, we were not surprised. And then taking advantage of playing San Francisco with their fourth string quarterback going into this season. So Brock Purdy being the third. So
he went out. I think
that's
it was
what,
is it Josh Johnson?
Josh Johnson, he got hurt also
with a concussion. Brock Purdy comes back in
and
actually
just
hands
the ball off.
I saw a mic'd up today clip of Kittle on the sideline asking Brock Purdy if he was ambidextrous and if he could throw left-handed.
Interesting.
And I don't know if that was like a legit question or if he was like screwing with him.
I was probably screwing with him.
But probably would not want to be asked that question given the
at that
magnitude
point,
of
down.
The situation.
Well, I think they probably were down a few touchdowns at that point. So
it was bad. It was ugly.
Yeah. Yeah. It was not great. So Philly advances to be represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. The late game was a much better game. Kansas City defeats the Cincinnati Bengals 23-20 on a late field goal by Harrison Butker. Got to be careful.
What are your thoughts on the game, Reed?
What we talk about, because you never know who's listening. And
I'd love to know your thoughts on the end of the game and how that unfolded.
All I'm going to say is it's quite surprising the rationale that is used by both sides on the fifth down play. Because I've seen a lot on social media, Twitter for the most part, both fan bases explaining their side of how they their bias. And it's funny because it's even myself and you and everybody, we have our own biases because of who we are fans of, who is paying us. It all goes into it. So it's just say what you want. You gotta play the game, but it is it was interesting to watch. I think that's all I'm gonna say.
That was great. That was like
I'll give
as gray as you could have made that.
I'll give kudos to Patrick Mahomes for hobbling out there on one leg.
I couldn't believe that he was even practicing, much less playing in the game. Like
when I saw the injury the previous week, I couldn't believe that he came back into that game. Much less, go on to play this past Sunday. But pretty interesting.
Yeah, congrats to KC for beating Cincinnati and being third, the representative of the AFC for the third time in 4 years.
4 years, I believe. Yep.
So congrats to them. They're doing really, really good things, especially in the kicking game.
Yes.
Last week we had a little bit of talk about the Cincinnati specialists, but this week it's all about the KC specialists.
Yes.
Reed, give us our after the snap clutch snap of the week, please.
Yes, after the snap clutch snap of the week for week 20 something. We'll just go for the championship week. Congratulations to James Winchester of the Kansas City Chiefs for his beautiful snap on the game-winning 45-yard field goal at the end of the fourth quarter to go back to the Super Bowl. So congrats to James.
Yep, congrats. And we haven't had an after-the-snap clutch snap of the week in several weeks now.
Yeah, it's
obviously been a bit. less games, less opportunities for a – game winner, but it felt like
I think the last one we had was Jacksonville a few weeks ago before Ross's interview.
Yeah, it felt like last year to me there was so many more clutch field goals throughout the course of the playoffs. Evan McPherson, namely,
the divisional round had three, I think, on its own.
Yeah. So this year in the playoffs, not quite as heavy in the kicking game. There were a lot more blowouts this year throughout the playoffs. So, but this week we are rolling into the Pro Bowl games, which for the first time it is not a Pro Bowl football game. There is a series of skills challenges and
the flag football game.
Games giving less opportunity to get the best players in the league injured.
Yes.
Congratulations again to our boys Morgan Cox and Andrew DePaula. Morgan Cox, friend of the pod. The long snappers for this week will be participating in kick-tack-toe, which is each team's kicker, punter, and long snapper will compete in a tic-tac-toe competition where the field goal posts are there's nine quadrants.
Yep.
And they're basically aiming to get three in a row and knock the other team out, which I think is a really, really cool concept. I feel like I've seen that before.
They used to do it a long time ago.
at the Pro Bowl? Was
at the
just
Pro
like
Bowl,
part of
maybe 15
like the
years
week,
ago? The yeah, it was just, yeah. They used to do the all the skills competitions and stuff. The longest throw, the hit the targets, stuff like that for the quarterbacks, different things. So they are bringing this back.
Yeah. So pretty sweet event. Also, one of note. I'll go through a couple of them. So they've got best catch, which is two players from each conference in a competition showcasing creativity, inventiveness, and talent. I'm assuming this is like the dunk competition where they just get to do some sort of cool backflip catch or like run and like catch it between their legs or something cool. Participating in that one is I'm on two different web pages. Best catch, Pat Surtain and Stephon Diggs from the AFC, and Justin Jefferson and Amon-Ra St. Brown from the NFC. So you had to know Justin Jefferson was going to be in that.
Of course.
Like, I am surprised. So the AFC has Pat Surtain, who's a defensive back,
DB,
which they may have needed some. I don't know if they were able to pick which events that they wanted to be in, but I'm surprised that Tyreek isn't in that one.
Is he still going?
Oh shoot! Is he?
Did he opt out?
He may have opted out. No, he's on the dodgeball team.
Oh,
he's on.
There may have been only a certain amount of events you could do. I don't know.
He may have preferred to do the dodgeball. But anyway, so they've got best catch, precision passing, obviously the quarterbacks, longest drive, which is a golf event, which will be cool. I'm sure there'll be some specialists involved there. Let's see who's, because I'm curious now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Justin Tucker. Jordan Poyer. Is Jordan Poyer a good golfer?
Huge golfer.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Best on the team? Who's the best golfer on the team?
Probably Case Keenum.
Okay.
Is pretty close to scratch. I don't know what Poyer's handicap is. Definitely single digits.
Yeah.
Josh is pretty good too.
Sanders is far and away our best golfer.
Hmm.
Like, probably shooting
good to play down in Florida. There's a ton of courses. Yeah,
and he's from California. Good. You know, spent time in New Mexico, which is very close to a lot of those courses in Phoenix. So a lot of good. He's spent time in a lot of places with good golf. So we've got from the AFC: Justin Tucker, Jordan Poyer, C.J. Mosley, Devontae Adams, and Matt Judon. So I don't know anything about their golf prowess. From the NFC, we've got Jonathan Allen, Tress Way, another specialist, Daron Payne, TJ Hockenson, and Za'Darius Smith.
Interesting.
So three players from the Commanders and two players from the Vikings hogging the NFC longest drive competition.
Interesting.
And then to round out the rest of the events, we've got lightning round, dodgeball, flag football, gridiron gauntlet, and move the chains. Flag football will be prime time TV. That'll be That'll be fun to watch. And I think that the Gridiron Gauntlet is going to be really cool too. That's like a, that's like an obstacle course that they are doing relay race style side by side. So that'll be cool. But those will be on, sounds like Thursday and Sunday. Interesting that there's nothing on Friday, Saturday. But Pro Bowl games action Thursday at 7, which is tonight as we're recording this. There'll be 5 events, and then Sunday at 3 p.m. will be the rest of the events, including the flag football game.
Want to get into probably the biggest news of the week and the biggest news, I would say, this thus far in the offseason. Yesterday we saw the end of a few eras. Three decades, career spanning 3 decades. Tom Brady retired, and
for the second time,
in quotes, for good this time is what he said. So I will say, for those who did not see the video that Tom posted, it looked like he was sitting kind of on the sand dunes at a beach. And I did see a tweet yesterday that said, "Imagine you're going out for your morning walk at the beach, and you see Tom Brady filming a retirement video as you walk past." I just think that would be hilarious. Yeah,
he's over in the dunes retiring.
Yeah. So the only thing I put on here is looking ahead. I saw a couple of people talking about the Hall of Fame classes for 27 and 28 in 4 or 5 years. A couple big name, not even quarterbacks, just a couple big name NFL guys. Adrian Peterson, Rob Gronkowski, Andrew Whitworth. I was looking at a website kind of listing who would be eligible. And I think he's, after winning a Super Bowl, he's 27.
Right?
He's definitely got to be pretty close, right, after winning a ring last year. And then in 28 will be Tom Brady and J.J. Watt. I think those are – obviously Brady is a shoe-in. I think J.J. is pretty close as well. So, you know, with the Brady retirement, that kind of leaves Aaron Rodgers. I know you posted something about it yesterday. Aaron Rodgers is kind of the only quarterback from that era still playing. I mean, you got
– really the only player. Like
player. Yeah,
I mean, nobody else has been playing even close to as long as they have. That is,
yeah, I think Jason Peters is really the only one
that's like, I'm saying, that's like reminiscent. Like, like you think back about some of the biggest moments in football as you were growing up. Like Brady and Rodgers are the last of that generation. You got Peyton, Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, like that. Crew of quarterbacks. Rodgers hopefully will not be done, because that would be really, really sad.
Yep.
So Reed, I'm rolling down my Twitter feed yesterday, and I follow several of the Barstool Twitter Barstool podcasters
personalities.
Thank you. Including Big Cat, PFT commenter from Pardon My Take, and a couple more. PFT commenter from Pardon My Take is also on a podcast called Macro Dosing with Arian Foster. Used to be running back at Tennessee. How about them balls? And then in Houston for a little bit. Anyway, Arian Foster claimed on their podcast that the NFL is rigged and that it is scripted.
Interesting. I did see that.
And so, as hilarious as that claim is, Even more hilarious were the tweets from Alvin Kamara and the like, just like playing along with the joke.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Alvin Kamara said something to the effect of, when I saw what our script was for this season, and it was like a dude like pissed off. Did you have any favorites in terms of like the tweets? It was kind of becoming a thing yesterday.
Yep.
To just like kind of play along with the bit that the NFL is rigged.
Two favorites. One, RG3, talking about when he saw the script for his season in 2013 or 14, whenever he got hurt. I thought that was pretty comedic. Secondly, when the other one I saw, it was not Jason Pierre-Paul, but it was, the tweet was Jason Pierre-Paul when he reads the script for the summer of 2016 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it's just this guy like looking at his hand. that one got me pretty good. But no, there was so many yesterday. I mean, if you go back to the tweet, I don't know if it was from PFT or Arian or maybe the podcast account that they were the macro dosing account. It may have been PFT. If you just look at the quote tweets on the video, it's all time classic Twittering right there. So it was pretty funny. I mean, there's. I know people love to joke that the NFL is scripted. It's not. And do you find one?
I'm just like, yeah. There's,
I mean, you could scroll those quote tweets for days.
It's the ones, the funny ones are the ones of like,
Lions fans,
my reaction
in the last 50 years reading the script, like stuff
my
like
reaction
that.
To our worst year in like notable year in recent memory. this dude says Jeff Saturday reading the script for the 2022 season, and it's Drewski. Like me? You want me?
There's so many good ones.
I guess my thought on it is like, if it was, how many people would have to be in on this secret for that
everybody.
To be possible? Like
everybody.
No, I'm saying like how many people beyond players, coaches, league staff, like how many people are we talking about? How many players are in the league?
50 times 30.
It's 53 like, times there's 32, probably with 18, practice squad,
grand,
that's probably
over 2 grand,
2,500 people.
Yeah.
Max.
Sure.
We're talking 2,500 players alone, not to mention coaches, training staff,
support
front
staff.
Office, support staff, video. Like, you're talking a lot of people in on this script. Hilarious. But it blew up yesterday when PFT tweeted out that clip. But Arian Foster he's brilliant for doing that, because it drew a lot of people to their podcast page that had not been there before.
Yeah. Next week I'm just gonna think of something extremely outrageous.
Yeah.
To say on the podcast, and we can clip it.
We'll call
post it. Retweet it and see if we can go viral.
We'll call it Skip Baylessing.
Skipping.
Skip. Yeah.
Give me your skipping. Skip take.
Yeah. He's been doing it for an entire career on TV, just saying outlandish things to make money, and people keep falling into the trap.
Unbelievable. Okay. So one more thing, just to finish off this week's pod. One more thing. Our final thing.
They're back at it again, baby.
They're back at it. And I have ranted to no end about Major League Baseball and the fact that they can't help but just continuously shoot themselves in the foot.
And then also their viewers.
And
they shoot themselves, then
they shoot themselves in the view. And, yes. And then the viewers are just getting sprayed with blood.
Yeah.
That's basically what's happening here. For those who didn't see the news yesterday, YouTube TV has dropped MLB Network for the time being. We don't know if it's going to come back. There has been a few instances where they've dropped the channel for a few weeks or a few days, and it's come back after they reach an agreement. I think it happened with NFL Network maybe a few years ago. I am so mad. Like, I saw that yesterday, and my heart rate spiked because I was pissed.
Did you see the email? Because I got
an email
from YouTube TV.
I saw the email first.
Yeah.
And then, just to clarify, I had to go Twitter search just to make sure what I was seeing was correct. That pissed me off.
You were going to be able to watch that much MLB out of network anyway.
From
with your Buffalo,
I know.
We're
blacked out of five teams, which
hope
is
you like watching the Dodgers. Hope you like watching everybody, yeah. But who you actually want to watch?
We're blacked out of five teams, which is for most days during baseball season is 10 teams because each team is playing another team, which is a third of the games every day. You're blacked out. I was so mad. That I watch MLB Network for the months of April through October, 6 months out of the year, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, 7 months out of the year. I watch MLB Network. If I have my TV on, it's on. I'm not watching ESPN. Like, I'm not watching anything else unless there's a football game on. I can't begin to explain how stupid this is for Major League Baseball to not pay up so their fans and their young fans who they're trying to grow the game can have baseball on their television. The stupid thing is?
Right before spring training.
Yeah.
We're about to go into spring training.
B, do you know how many people are going to flock to YouTube TV for Sunday ticket coming next football season? Millions of people are going to sign up for YouTube TV. Millions of people. And guess what channel is not going to be on there for them to watch? Millions of sports fans are signing up for your service, YouTube TV, and MLB doesn't want to agree to have their channel on there on the off chance that, oh, maybe some of those football fans will tune into MLB Network and in turn create more ad revenue. I know it's way more complicated than that. That's like the baseline of my understanding. More views, more money seems pretty straightforward to me. But yeah, MLB fans should be extremely disappointed in the association that they support.
Yeah, I when I saw the email come across yesterday, I was like, this is because the YouTube TV has very rarely struggled with being able to work out negotiating deals. And I think there was one point in time, maybe last year or the year before, where they had an issue, I think, with like Disney. And they were going to drop ESPN for a little while, and then they ended up being able to sort it out. This one to me is just another, to me, it's not YouTube TV's fault. It's MLB Network or the MLB having a history of screwing over people who want to watch their content.
Yep.
Watch games, watch pregame shows, watch the fantasy shows, watch all of the content that MLB is trying to push, like you said, to young viewers. Not there. And to me, it's a shame. It is a shame because, like you said, they could have benefited the league and that brand so well by staying with, and who knows, maybe next week they'll have it worked out and it'll come right back. But they could have benefited so well by taking advantage of all of those viewers that they're about to be getting from the NFL Sunday Ticket being on YouTube. Rob Manfred is taking another L right now. So
yes, he is.
It started with blacking you out of five different teams, which to me is just bonkers. I can't believe that that's even a thing. And then secondly, it was the lockout last year that was just, it was hard to watch. Felt like there was just nothing happening, that there were no negotiations actually taking place, and he was just kind of out there screwing around. And then this. So we'll see. Hopefully YouTube TV just comes through for us and drops that bag to get us MLB Network back. So
yeah, I think the onus is on Major League Baseball.
Not YouTube TV. I would say but if it MLB
takes two to tango. Takes
the MLB
two
wants to make a deal, but has a higher price tag. Who knows? Maybe we'll get lucky and YouTube will see it as a valuable investment.
Mm-hmm. Last thing before we go, make sure to watch our guy, Josh Allen, competing in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am this weekend. I think it started yesterday on Wednesday, going Thursday, Friday, and then through end of day Saturday. So I'll be tuning in while I'm home to see our guy playing. I think he's with – I was reading earlier, he's with the same guy he was with last year, Kevin or something, Kevin Harris. I don't know. I didn't recognize the name, but he's with the same guy. So tune in. I'm sure you'll see a bunch of stuff on social media. But, yeah, he's
– Just think. He – Where you at? He froze. I said, just think, he could have been doing the long drive competition at the Pro Bowl, but come on.
I think he called in sick.
Hey,
he called in sick to the Pro Bowl. I think I'd play Pebble Beach.
We've all wanted to spend an extra day on the course, and sure. I cannot fault him for that. So,
no doubt. Or a couple extra.
Good luck to Josh, and hopefully he and Kevin ? Can
that might can, not even be his
do
name.
the thing. So
his name is I thought I knew. Sorry.
Come on.
I was trying to look it up.
Hey, Siri.
Who
is Josh Allen playing with at Pebble Beach this weekend? Nope. That's Stoke City, England championship.
It doesn't matter. Good luck.
Well, now we gotta find it. Because our listeners are counting on us.
Kevin, please tell me his name is Kevin. His first name is K. Kevin. I apologize to the listeners for the dead airspace.
Keith Mitchell.
See how close.
Anyway, that is a wrap on this week's episode. Thank you again for joining us. As always, you can follow us on social media at After the Snap Pod. Instagram, Twitter, all of the places. We will see you right back here next week after the snap. This has been, I didn't like that. That was weird.
Roll with it.
This has been After the Snap, Tales from Two Brothers Who Live Life Upside Down.
See ya.